Resident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 30th on the West Coast, now July the 1st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. That usually only happens once a month that we're on the air simultaneously in two different dates. However, we go through that with those who are to the east of us, those who are listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. We want to welcome all of you folks as well. Lots to talk about. Just a public service announcement for those of you who are regular listeners of The Story Behind the Story on the microeffect.com, that's Micro Effect Broadcasting Network, Dr. H. Huat show. I will be a guest on that show tomorrow night, and we're going to talk about some very interesting things that we occasionally talk about on this show, but don't often have the opportunity to discuss elsewhere on the internet. But we're going to be doing that tomorrow night. And also, this coming Saturday, I'm going to be hosting, guest hosting for Michael Herzog's The American Awakening on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And that's Saturday, early evening, Eastern Time, 5 to 7, West Coast Time, 2 to 4. And I have a surprise guest or two for that show. That said, we're going to invite tonight's guest on board. He's a frequent guest on many, many talk shows around the world, and he's a mutual friend with Dr. H. Huat, myself, Drew Malone Raines III, who is tomorrow night's guest, and he's known as, let's say, someone who wears two hats. He's a chemtrail opposition researcher. Say that 10 times real fast. And he is also a polymer chemist. And his name is Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don. I was going to, in fact, insert in all your show that you're going to be on just smashing, Don, smashing. I can't wait to hear your show tomorrow night as well. And you had a great guest last night also. You always have a great guest. I listened to Michael talk last night. So, and I do concur with his, in fact, methodology of dealing with this scourge that is in front of us, in our midst. I definitely, in fact, want to make sure that those goes on polls. And those polls, they change their composition from being someplace that you, in fact, elect and vote to something, a place where there's polls with heads on them. And these heads are for all to see. And really, it's not going to be G-rated either. This is what is, in fact, intended for you to, in fact, to suffer if you go into that room with the rest of those demon-possessed beings, those soulless entities. This is what's going to happen to you, and America will speak from that.
Well,
as grisly as that sounds.
Yeah.
Is it more grisly than what's going on right now? It's not.
No, I don't think it ever has been, actually, that the depravity of international governments being directed by a clique of corporate fascists, Zionists, communists, socialists, who have world domination as their goal, has never stooped to the level of death and destruction and corruption that we have today. I'm sure you'd agree with that. Do you?
And don't forget depravity. Like you said, don't forget that, because that's just kind of like, that's like the evil seasoning, depravity. It is, it's generational. It's going on generational. I know that for as much fact as in fact that I can put into it for myself and many others. These beings, whom they are, they're not really like you and I, because we have souls and we can love. They can't, and that's why they hate us, because we can. Because we can love. They don't understand the concept. I mean, they're in fact, their entire being is without that particular element in it, and that's why they hate us, and that's why they've got the hammer down, and they're trying to, in fact, just to put us in all types of situations. Just like Truot was talking about tonight with his guest and you know, the vaccine. And it just goes on. And look at the people he's got talking. These people are experts in their field, which we recognize, because their expertise, in fact, is very founded in the very elements of this brew, this witch's brew, that, in fact, that they're putting in these shots, and, in fact, are just headstrong into making sure that those injections go into us and our children, and it in fact, will... It will terminate all things. It will terminate reproduction of the human species. That's exactly what's in those shots.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's not just in the shots. It's in our water. It's in our food.
Yeah.
It's in our skies.
It is
in
everywhere.
It's in
everywhere.
The oceans. Yeah.
It is everywhere. But we've got some information, Don, and if we just keep cultivating that little pool of information about how to countermeasure these things, I know that, in fact, we've got a chance of, in fact, being ultimately enabled to pull these wretched beings aside. I just know, and their technologies, pull their technologies down. I don't even like the word technology. You've heard me say that before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even use formulas anymore. I use recipes. I've done the formula thing too long, and quite frankly, it is, in fact, as a matter of somewhat pseudoscience to most things, in fact, are based on things that are just mere assumptions, but they call that science. And you've had this discussion before with other people. I've heard you.
Mm-hmm.
And those principles, it's just like the mortarboard that you wear at graduation. There's a certain reason for that, but it's got nothing to do with education and the science of things based on the only way that you can measure them, and that's with nature. And nothing in nature, in fact, is asymmetrical to a point where it, in fact, will come to, instead of having a circle, you have an orbit, you have an ellipse of things. You don't have a circle, but most things in science are based on things that are circles. Circles really don't exist, just ellipses.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make that point with you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you and I haven't really had such a spiritual discussion in terms of science, but as a scientist who deals with the, I'll use the term mundane, although it's not to slight what you do, but the acceptable sciences, mm-hmm. you know, the elements that are out there to be studied in a laboratory and combined and used to solve problems or bring solutions, no pun intended. Having worked as many years as you have in that area, and also having been a risk assessment analyst professionally for a number of years, what is your opinion of science in general? What we're hearing, for instance, today, in light of the news?
Well, the science in general, as it appears today, you just look at the ones that are also voice pieces or the guardians of what is science. Well, what is science? As I said a moment ago, there's so many areas that's based on nothing more than a presumption that someone has made a long time ago. Even in the laws of physics, there's various presumptions made. Oh, daggone, they even created symbols so you could put that in the equation. But wait a minute. If you dare to ask the question about that, that's heresy. And Dr. A. Trudot is very, very familiar with that statement, because that's what they do to you. If you just dare ask a question, because, see, you're saying, well, wait a minute. That is, in fact, that doesn't occur in nature. A circle, a perfectly symmetrical circle, doesn't occur really in nature, except in a bubble. But then again, you've got gravity influences of a bubble, and in fact, you don't have a perfect circle. You have a sphere. Well, things occur in spheres, but they're still not perfect circles. They're ellipses to some degree, just like the Earth is an ellipse. It's an elliptically shaped planet, not a round sphere. But how many times have you seen a globe? Take it off there and roll across the floor. It rolls perfectly because it's a circle. But see, those are presumptions that are made, just like when they discovered that, daggone, the world isn't really flat. It is round. Okay, so science, in fact, takes off on using these presumptions, and they're the bearers of the flags of these sciences and these things that are chemistry, and there's where you really get into science that is flawed, because that's based on materials that cannot exist in the forms that they're, in fact, telling you that they are. Science, in fact, says that it must be structured by atoms. Atoms go make molecules. Okay, these atoms and these molecules, in fact, are very distinct and succinct, but nothing in nature occurs like that. Nature has all these side groups. Everything has a side group. I don't care what it might be. So, therefore, you can't get this pristine purity in nature. But everything in science is based on that pristine purity, which cannot exist, if you understand my point. So there's a yep. fallacy going in when you use science to measure anything in nature. And we are natural beings, and everything around us is natural, and they don't have compositions like that thing that you see there called science telling you, no, this is the science of it. Well, outside of their lies about what they tell, about what science is saying that it's doing, quite frankly, I can sum it up very, very carefully and say all the science that we see today is being taught by the reptilian in a different type of species and being, because they're at the head of all of our agencies, they're ahead of virtually all of the academia, and I'm not kidding you about that, and you know that to be true. They teach this as a purpose of, in fact, dumbing you down. In other words, they don't allow things to come into this fold and teach it as science, because that doesn't recognize anything. That is a vacuum of a vacuous area of nothing that even a spirit can exist in. And see, we are not only natural humans, but we have spirits. They can't have spirits, therefore science cannot allow spirits to exist, because they can't define it. Well, they could if it was some type of electromagnetic or electrical phenomena, but then again, they don't know that for certain either. So if you understand what I'm trying to get at, as far as what I think about science in general, I think, in fact, it is extremely flawed, and it cannot be used as a measure stick to what we see going on before us today, because what we see going on before us today can't be defined except an extinction-level event.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say all that right? I don't know.
Did you?
Did
you
it
know,
trail out right?
While you were speaking, an image of a person standing on a line, and let's say in the center of a line, imagine you were describing the Earth and its shape. And I've had this discussion, as you correctly alluded to, with Jim Murray, for example. We've discussed this many a time on this show and off the air as well. And let me tell you, we get into some pretty deep discussions off the air, as we do on the air. But there are no holds barred, so we go into a lot of science, and I've learned a lot from listening to him speak. But I sense the errors in science intuitively. Now, while you were speaking, and I just want to paint this picture, if what you're saying is true, it could be corroborated by visualizing a person standing on a point, which in terms of where he is, he or she is, that person is in the center of a line, and at one end of that line, say the east end, is the rising of the sun. And at the other end is the setting of the sun. Now, have you ever actually stood in the exact spot more than once ever in your life where you were aligned with that line? In other words, 180 degrees in either direction is the rising and the setting of the sun. It would be virtually impossible for you to be in the correct place a second time, unless you could intuit where that was, or if you had some higher knowledge where that was. Now, on the definition of the Earth being a circle or a perfectly round-shaped sphere, everyone should be able to do that all the time. Once you learn where those lines are, those lines of intersection, if you're following the picture I'm giving.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you'd have to ask the question, is there a place on Earth where that actually can occur? Is the Earth's orbit so perfect that, and its orbit around the sun and the speed at which it turns and the possibility of where the sun is going to be as it's rising and where the sun is going to be where it's setting, that you can draw a single line from point A to point B to point C. And you label them how you like, but moving from one direction, say from west to east or east to west, and having that person be there. Now, we all perceive the rising and the setting of the sun, but we never, ever perceive it exactly the same way. There can never be more than one person at that center line at any given time. There can be an approximation of it, but you see, it's those types of things that we never talked about. We never talked about the philosophy of science. It was always learn this rule, learn that rule. This is the way it's done. Don't question it. If you don't repeat the answer as it's given to you, you fail the test.
Well,
and
exactly.
So it stifles creativity and imagination and understanding, because they don't really give you any meaningful foundation for understanding how the universe works. You're learning a craft, basically, you know, that's built on a belief system. And once in a great while, somebody's allowed to bring out a postulate or a theorem or a device supposedly based on a particular formula, whether it's mathematical, you know, physics, electronics, or any, you know, any given science. It could be alchemy, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we never are dealing with the exact same formula, because physicality is different in every aspect, in every individuation. It's different. And yet we're all supposed to act the same. We're all supposed to believe the same. Or we're out of line. You get my meaning. And that's where I think science and what's going on sort of bridge together or merge together. Because there is a fixed outlook on how the universe operates. Therefore, if we're told lies or we're not given all the information, you can never really make the best decision because you're lacking information, or you're using improper or incorrect information.
Or you've been taught wrong.
Well, yeah, that's the same thing, of course. I was going to give you...
We've all suffered from that problem.
Yeah, but what you were saying, you know, evoked that image in my mind, and it's really difficult to explain. It took all that time to explain it, you know.
Well, Don, you know, the talking about standing on a line where the sun, in fact, rises and where the sun sets. Where
yes.
The moon rises and where the moon sets, based on the cycle and the season, what day it is, if it's a solstice. Yeah, you could stand on that line. There would be a line there. But how many times has it occurred to you, not that there's any incidence of you counting it, but How many times have you noted that the sun does not rise where it's supposed to, nor does it set where it's supposed to, whatever time of year it's supposed to be setting and coming up in those areas?
17 times. No.
Okay, I knew you'd have an answer. I knew Don Nikoloff would have an answer for me. So.
No, I'd have to say
that about your technical capabilities.
I probably have seen it thousands of times and thought about it many.
Okay? Oh, just dare, in fact, invoke that question to one of the local meteorologists online or you know, have somebody call into the studio or one of the radio stations and, in fact, bring that question up. Just, you know, hey, isn't the sun in the wrong place going down? Isn't it supposed to be at 270 this time of year? Yes, it is. I know that very well because I used to fly out of a place over in around Dayton, Ohio called Brookville Air Park. That's where you learn to fly. You know, oh, man, I went through the whole thing and I just loved to fly. Oh, what a release that was. But this little air park, it had the runways, in fact, like a great big, like a postage stamp, really. But it was great big and long, and in fact, at 270 and 090 to the east, and the patterns all fit that. But there were certain times of the evening in the summer that you did not want to go up, especially on really clear evenings, because when you were coming in to land, you were flying in at 270, and I mean to tell you, you had that great big old red ball of sun sitting right under your prop, and you couldn't see anything because they have plexiglass windscreens in those Cessna 210s and the 172 Skyhawks I used to fly all the time. And somebody would, in fact, clean those plexiglass windscreens with a paper towel that obviously would scratch it, and it would just like these little squiggly marks all over that windscreen as you're trying to land. And I kid you not, one time I had my son-in-law and his parents in the aircraft with me, and we were landing on 270 on one of those evenings. I couldn't see a thing, and my son-in-law was sitting in front seat, and he was just barely able to make out something. And there was a county road that ran exactly the same direction about 50 feet away from this runway. And I was getting ready to land on that county road, and there was a guy sitting on a Harley motorcycle right there. I just about landed on him. I aborted my landing and punched that thing up, and I said, to heck with it. And I went back down and came down and landed on 090. At least I could see.
The Hell's Angels have been looking for you ever since.
Oh, I did stay up in the air for a while until he left. But anyways, that was in the 1980s. Now, fast forward. I know for a fact, because I went out there in recent years, and there's a little place that you can go down that county road and kind of like pull off the side. You can watch aircraft go in and out of there. But I know, and I don't see very many anymore. I don't think anybody flies. I think they're scared they'll shoot you down, and you're too close to right pat, you know. But I noticed that that ball of sun doesn't set at 270 all the time anymore. That's extremely bothersome to me, and it always has been. But anyway, that took a roundabout way of telling you that story. But
well, have
the
you
sun, it, sun's not in the right place, folks.
Well, have you noticed anything with any of the constellations? That's if we're fortunate enough to see the sky at night.
I certainly have. Well, yeah, that's the first obstacle. I certainly have. Yeah, the constellations, I've noticed. I noticed Cygnus the Swan is not where it's supposed to be right now. So this only means one thing, Don. I know in a roundabout way we'll kind of get to it and light on our topic, which I think we have, but in a roundabout way, it's not that the sun has relocated itself. The sun doesn't have any problem with its orbit. I think we got a really, really bad problem with Earth orbit right now. I think we got a problem because we seem to be like tipping or something. And I think it's going actually southeast. I think we're breaking that orbital plane that we have around the sun, and it's like it has a right draft on it. I mean, that's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about how you perceive things, and one of the things that really makes you, it opens your mind up, is to look north of you. Now, you're there at the lake, so you can do this very well. But I mean, you can, because you can imagine, you can, in fact, invoke the feeling of all that water. But just think about looking straight north. And if you want to look north of where you're at, just, in fact, imagine that where you are actually located is somewhat almost on to the side of the earth, and what you're doing is you're looking up at all that mass. So looking up really is looking right at the horizon as far as you can see. And just imagine that the rest of the globe is fashioned in that way, because not up is not really straight up from you. Matter of fact, that's at a 90-degree angle. Up is, in fact, looking at the horizon to the north. That is up. And when you can bring yourself into that perspective, because I've, in fact, been able to imagine exactly what, where the center of the sky was at when I, in fact, point these magnetic orgone generators and that massive magnetic vortex into that region of space, I really believe that that is, in fact, the region that I'm actually targeting, because that's where the Hadron Collider puts, it projects its electron beam is into that sector of the sky. So I always keep one that I've got here pointed in that direction. But it's just knowing that it's like, well, you can really get a perspective because you're not looking out, you're looking up from where you're located on the Earth. That does ground you into just really how infinitesimally small we really are.
Now, conversely, I could turn in the opposite direction and still be looking up.
Yeah, but watch out, you'll fall off. Brace yourself.
So when a person is actually looking toward the heavens straight above their head, let's say, they're looking out as opposed to up, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yes, okay. They're looking out. And based on their position and lines, latitude and all that, you're looking at out an angle, probably somewhere around a deflected angle of 60 degrees, 80 degrees, or 45 degrees, depending on where you're at. Of course, as you get closer to the equator, that angle goes up to azimuth. And, in fact, you are, in fact, looking out. You're still not looking up. The only way you can look up completely at azimuth at that angle is, in fact, to be somewhere around the North Pole. That's looking up.
Now the North Pole being elliptical in shape and off by off of magnetic north by 4 degrees. Mm-hmm. When you try to intuit that rather than see it, or you know, in other words, when you move out of physicality, do you think the same rule applies? I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but you know, in other words, if I'm not depending on a direction by one of my senses, but I'm just sensing the all,
the closer you get to the center, the more correct the exact angle would be, right?
Mm-hmm. In other words, if there was a frequency at that center, I should be able to lock in on it metaphysically.
Yes. Exactly, Donald. Exactly.
Okay.
You would be able to lock on that frequency from there. But there's also a gribby old hole up there, too. And you haven't seen a picture of it, and I haven't either, but I know it's there because there's been enough people, and in fact, that have talked about it. And you've heard the stories about Byrd, Admiral Byrd, okay, all the stuff that's been hidden away. But there is a great, huge, vast hole that, in fact, is occluded by many forms of precipitation and fog and mist and so on and so forth. But there is one there, and it's routinely used by various types of craft that go in and out of it. And that's what I said about the Hadron Collider. They're going to be bringing these other types of trans-dimensional craft through that portal when they get it open. So I keep this myself and so many others across this planet, in fact, have these things. We don't say a word about it, but we help others, in fact, install the same things. We got us a huge right spin magnetic vortices going across that part of the space above the planet, and it where it should be, because that right turn vortex from these orgone magnetic, natural magnetic generators put a right spin and accelerate the Hadron Collider's electron beam, which is projected on the front end. That is a right spin electron beam. And on the backside of that projected beam is a waveform. That is a left spin. That's the counter-rotating spin. Now, see, you've got the Earth's magnetic pole right there, and that is the third, that is the tertiary of the gravitational fields, which you need for trans-dimensional opening. And you do understand that. I know you did. Mm-hmm. I hope I said it right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. The right spin of these magnetic vortices, in fact, that we're putting up into that sector of space from all over the world. I kid you not. It chokes me up sometimes when I think of all the people that put these things in just based on the little sketch that I sent to them. And it's went everywhere. But I know that that accelerates the right spin of that collider. And the only way that trans-dimensional opening can come open and stay open is for it to be in perfectly tuned velocity to the counter-rotating waveform. It cannot, in fact, match its velocity. It's going to spin faster. That way, that portal cannot come open.
Mm-hmm. So you're implying that... Go ahead.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're implying basically that the purpose of the collider is to open up a portal.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what it's supposed to be. It's been defined as Hell's Gate by many. That seems to be the most popular, if you will, definition of it, because it's been said that what will come through there is just... It defies reality or a movie that was made in that type of stuff, because it's just terribly evil. I mean, what other word can we put to it? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
We don't have anything that describes that magnitude of treachery and wickedness and evil. But there, in fact, it is the demonic. It's like their grand finale fireworks. I mean, that's just what they are, because these are all have kinship somehow, some type of replicating kinship that demonically. And by the way, that portal, as I understand, it's a two-way street. You can go in it and you can come out of it. Things can go in there and things can come out of it, including craft. I even heard someone say, "Well, what if they can have a planet come through there?" I thought, "You don't say that again."
Well, maybe we could get a replacement for this one.
I wish there was a trade-in value for right now.
Well,
probably it'd probably fall in the category of POS, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, the term hadron refers to a subatomic particle including baryons and mesons that can take part in a strong interaction with each other. Now, to me, the HAD is the first part of the word Hades. And you know, they had Enron, I guess, Hadron applies here.
Yeah, that sounds... We can market that, yeah. Then we'll put CERN on there, and that sounds really like scientific stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Who are these people that are doing this? Nobody has any clue. But they're, the expert scientists working on the Hadron Collider, you'll see some British report come out, you know, and it's who? They're trying to do what? They're trying to make a microscopic black hole? What are you people, what kind of drugs are you people on? I want to make certain that those get banned forever in this world.
Well, the not that I want to change subject, but
no, let's change the subject.
It's sort of related to it in a way, because it's the same group of people that are responsible for what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes, sir.
And you know, I want to keep it a little bit on a spiritual level tonight. The reason I bring that up is because we talked about this topic so much on the show over the past couple of months now. We have been watching the figures that we gave out in the very beginning through intuition, primarily. We've been watching those figures that the mainstream media has been permitted to release to the public inch up near the same values. Pretty much, you know, from the beginning, I've been saying there's 100,000 pounds of pressure per square inch of force coming out of a hole in the bottom of the ocean. And the mainstream media was saying 2,000, then they inched up to 3,000, and then 5,000 and 8,000, never, ever coming close to it. Then, all of a sudden, somewhere around a month ago, we had this urgent report that BP admitted that it was now 12 times worse a disaster than previously thought. Well, I had a dream two nights ago when I woke up from this dream, and I thought about what I had dreamt, and something told me, check out February 13th. Just Google the date and see what you come up with. And wouldn't you know, the second thing that I found was a story, a reference to the fact that they knew about this at the White House on February 13th of this year, 2 months and a week prior to the event that occurred, where this thing, this Deepwater Horizon rig, caught fire and capsized and began spewing larger amounts of oil. The oil was already coming out there on February the 13th, and that's when they told the White House. Now, how long had that been going on prior to that? We may never know, because we have to get this information from liars. Okay? So,
you're right.
I mean,
I don't mean to be laughing at what you're saying, but that was funny. That's because you're exactly right. That's the only thing they can do. They can only lie. Like Kim Dolly, bless her heart, like she said, they lie, then they lie, and then they lie, and then they lie, and then they lie. Absolutely, she's right. This is all they can do. They cannot tell the truth, not even to just anybody that's just halfway paying attention. You found it back in February. Well, who's pray tell to say that, in fact, that anything happened that we don't know about with this system that they have, this well system that they have there? You know, well, did Project Bluebeam hit that sucker on April the 20th, or was it in February, or when was it? I mean, that's I'm not confused. I know that it accomplished exactly what Atriot had uncovered, and that is exactly what had happened. But when did that happen?
Well, it at least happened on April the 20th. We know that because of the video that was taken.
Right.
Now we're seeing a lot of fraudulent video produced in a studio, whether it's a TV studio or a motion picture studio, is up for grabs. But we do know they have a door behind the well casing that they're showing us from that image, and that door opens more than once.
Just so you know, I'm absolutely on board with what you gentlemen have said about that. Absolutely, it was produced in a studio. Dr. Ott, try it again. There's no camera that can withstand those type of crush pressures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been saying the same thing too. Neither can these alleged robots that capped this thing. If they capped the well, why did it keep spewing oil? Or why did it keep spewing dispersant? Might be a better question, because it appears to me, from what I've seen in any videos, that we're not seeing oil. It's like a smoke screen. Literally, they're showing us a smoke screen.
There's like at least four different prevalent colors coming from that.
Yes. Yes.
Not one uniform color is coming from that. Well, one's probably the dispersant. Oh, yeah, but which one?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the dispersant was colorless. Oh, well,
yeah.
You know, you've got that spewing from that well, that alleged well. And I think, in fact, there's a well that's got a whole lot more in it than just oil. A tar volcano. That is the perfect definition of what they tapped into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, be it as it may. But what is that stuff coming out of there? It's all completely different color. One has almost a yellow ochre type appearance. You know, yellow
and
oxide ochre type appearance.
Yeah, it's coming out of a wellhead that's distinctly different from the original wellhead images they showed us too. This thing's straight.
Yeah.
It's looking out.
Yeah.
Your previous definition.
Yeah.
You know? Before it looked like it was looking up, almost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you notice that you never see a photo of this as after it goes up like a couple of feet beyond where you see the plume
mm-hmm.
end at the end of the screen.
Yeah, you get
how
a very
take a shot back. You know, how come we don't have any underwater submersibles taking photographs of this plume as it's rising? Have you ever seen one? I've never have.
Well, most of them would get crushed down there, wouldn't they? I mean, somehow they got the wellhead casing that low. We know they can stay down there that much time, but I mean, how is that done? Are they doing that with advanced forklifts and steam shovels and backhoes and, you know? Obviously not. They're using some kind of a drilling apparatus that's able to function as a sort of like a wrench and cap that thing and bolt it down. Or there's something, they have some technology that they're not disclosing to us.
Yeah.
What about a spaceship? What about them taking it there? Because the ship will displace the water. And so the ship doesn't even get wet going into the water, if you understand the principles of the aerodynamics so much as the principle of the drive system, anti-gravity or anti-matter. So there's a possibility that they actually used the ships to build those things in the beginning. Now, that may sound like a stretch for some people, but it all connects. It all has to do with those beings that you were talking about.
Of all the people that I have either talked to or know, that is a whole lot of them, Don. I don't know anyone on the face of this earth that is more immensely qualified to make the comment that you just did than you.
Well, I don't know what I did to earn that distinction, but
you got friends in high places. So,
well, it's I've been thinking.
So you
about
understand this. That the principles of those things that, in fact, would qualify you immensely for being able to understand how that could, in fact, work. And
mm-hmm.
believe me, that's not anything that you should ever be abashed about throwing on the table, because that could very well be exactly what it is. And you know how you are. Seems like when you make a guess at something, you always hit it right on the bing.
Well, it's not always a guess, but
I know.
It may appear to be, yeah. It's a very plausible thing, knowing the capabilities of those craft. And if those craft can move interdimensionally. And they can do things beyond the comprehension of the average person, because we think in terms of moving from point A to point B as we travel around, and that's not exactly the science that's at work there. which comes in the face of science again. Now, this we could go on and on about this, but I wanted to reference that because there were a couple of nights where I told people we can put our intention on resolving this, and really, it demands a focus and an understanding of who we are and having a responsibility about focusing our intention on seeing the earth healed up, not for any personal glory, but for the glory of the creation. We owe that to the earth, which gives us life, which sustains our life, and which, if we abuse it, will take our life. And we're on the precipice of that time. And now I'm going to segue a little bit into what they're doing with the weather, because they're using this event and they're using their technology with the weather to make this situation become worse. They're not trying to resolve it. How dare I say they make hurricanes? Well, we know they can manufacture hurricanes. It's in their literature. It's in their policy books. And they readily admit it, although they won't admit it on mainstream, but on inner circles, certainly there's enough of that information posted on the internet from the agencies that dream up these ideas.
Right.
And they turn it against mankind, and now they're turning it against nature to impact mankind, and we can change that. You know firsthand now, just in the past month, I'm 10 for 10.
Yes, sir.
On disabling very, very dangerous and threatening storms. You describe to the listeners what you have seen in that regard, studying radar maps and that.
Well, the one that came up through there however many weeks ago it was, I called you and I said, you know, you got one coming right at you, because I've been watching it on radar all day. And so I sent you something, you know, and that was the day that you, in fact, walked outside and seen this funnel cloud coming right at you, and you, in fact, commanded it to go north. And you really, in fact, done a really good command there, because that sucker went up and dropped hail balls into Lake Erie north of you. And Miss Cleveland as well. So that was one time that I know you had been able to. That was really the first thing, because just at that very moment, while I was watching the live fighting radar on my internet, I walked in the room and they had a different radar on, and just at that moment, that cell, that one that had the curve on it, that hook echo, in fact, it literally jumped across that line, which shows a shoreline from that particular area. Not to give away your exact location, but that, in fact, happened at the same moment. And the guy on the Channel 14 ONN news, because they had their radar screens up and that, they make it a 24/7 event for those types of activities in the area. And he made the comment. He said, oh, look at that. He said that thing just like went north. It just jumped. Just almost at the exact same moment that you, in fact, had done what you had done based on the timeline that we worked out. So, Don, there was no question in my mind that this thing that you and I have, we've called it radionics for lack of a better way of defining it, but that works for me, because it's the ability to, in fact, to use your heart and your mind to command something. That is natural, and this wasn't natural. This was all manipulated energetic systems, and it was full of positrons. You, in fact, just commanded it to go north, and it did. Then you've done that so many other times, the same exact thing. You know, what you told me about the lady at the filling station, you stopped, and you told her, or she was really concerned about the weather that day, and this was a totally different event, and you said it's just going to rain a little bit. And then what you said, it's just going to rain a little bit. You'll have like a spring shower come through here, you know, and that's exactly what happened. The tornadoes, in fact, in this last series, one hit very close to you west of you, and then on over to Conneaut. I mean, in that area there, one hit there, one hit outside of Detroit, all real close to you, but all away from your path of where you're located. And so, as I said, you know, I told you, hey, people of Cleveland should give you some kind of medal.
No, no.
I knew of at least five storms that you've kept from hitting them.
Now what I did, and this was just a few days ago, that storm you're referring to, that thing was a few hundred miles in length from north to south, and at the top it had an east to west pattern that connected at the top of the northernmost point.
Right.
And that went a good 100 miles or so. And those storm cells were purple and red, and then very little orange and yellow, and then all underneath it, green. So there was a lot of clouds, there was a lot of precipitation, there was a lot of wind. And you recall, we talked on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and I told you what I was doing to that storm. I said, the southern half of that north-south front, and it wasn't at the usual angle that you see these fronts move, it was north and south. And
right.
Like I described the whole system as an inverted L, and that's how it looked on the on the radar.
Yeah.
The bottom of the L was on top, and you had a straight line coming down on the left side. Okay?
Yeah.
And basically, it was from Findlay to Columbus. That portion of the line, I said, at that point, that I'm going to cause it to break right there at Findlay.
I was getting kind of scared watching it. I thought it was going to turn into a swastika or something.
But you know? But you, if you noticed, the thing turned yellow from the deep reds and purples that were in there, and the whole thing turned yellow. You didn't even get rain that night, did you?
No. Nope. Started to neutralize.
Okay.
Started to neutralize.
And you saw what happened to the northern half. I mean, it just it shrunk and split apart and basically disappeared off the map.
It did.
And
you know, I watched that.
And I had predicted to the lady at the gas station, I said, you know, I can just make it be a gentle rain. No wind damage. She was really concerned about the wind damage in that. Because of their signage and just the layout of the place. They get really blasted by a front like that. And she said, well, a gentle rain would be fine. If you can get rid of the tornadoes and the winds, they were blasting the tornado siren a good part of the day. And all I could do was laugh because all of a sudden the siren stopped and it was real quiet. And I was talking to you on the phone
right.
In the middle of my yard, and the adjacent street to the north, the trees were going crazy, and the adjacent street, parallel street, to the south, same thing. And I was standing in the yard, and not a hair on my head was blowing in the wind.
Well, when you were standing there, if you recall, I said, you're only the second person that has ever been on this earth that I know that could command the storm, the calm.
And that other person is?
Well
now, you said that you know. Okay, I'll leave it at that.
It wasn't a question.
I don't want to tell you who you know and who you don't know.
Well, I know this one real well.
Well, but
he's called by many things, but spiritually, no, Don. There is that. There's an entrustment there. I feel that I've been entrusted as well, and so many other people have. Because we just recognize that this is something that we were given. All of us were given. He even said that. He said, "You'll do these miracles and so many others, and so much more,
and greater ones." Yeah,
and greater ones. Yeah, that was the word he used. That word of knowledge, in fact, can be resounded and carried through to this day for people who just will take the time, just take the moment to recognize that we've all been gifted with that. If we can, in fact, just take that 9 million trillion ton gorilla off our back called hopelessness. Just shove that sucker off there. You can do any of these things if you, in fact, will it from your heart. If you will it from the heart for this cyclone, this hurricane, in fact, to go crashing into the shores and the mountains of Mexico, it will, and it did. If you, in fact, can will that there would be calm in the Gulf of Mexico so the wash doesn't keep going up on the shoreline. I'm even a believer, and I know this is at least the third time I've said it, if you, in fact, can just will in your heart that that crevice, in fact, would just start to close. And if all, in fact, that were listening to this in the times that had been said before, just by feeling where the Gulf of Mexico is at, from where you're at right now, just feeling where it's at, and imagining your hands and your arms coming together, one is to the south and one is to the north of that area down there. I know it's going to be weird if somebody sees you doing this, but don't worry about it. Just imagine that pulling itself together. Just imagine that will pulling, and see, it's not your will, that's God. God's got the only hand that are big enough to do this. And we can, if we can just pull that together, if we have enough faith in that, Don, that will close that crack. I know it will. I know it will. I can't demonstrate anything, but if it slows down and stops, I mean, we can all cheer and scream, thank you, Lord, and praise the Lord. We can just do all that. But until we all believe that, we can only imagine that that's true. And didn't the Beatles write a song about that?
Well, yeah. Actually, it's a knowing. It goes beyond belief. With me, it's a knowing. And that's why I when we were talking about looking up as opposed to looking, you know, what direction is really looking up or looking out. Okay, when we were talking about that, and I said, I can sort of tune in to that frequency, okay? Anyone can do this. This is why we're sharing this, because when we all begin to do this, it doesn't matter what the charlatans in Washington, D.C. and in the Gulf of Mexico intend to do. We can reverse that.
We can reverse it. That's my favorite word, Don. We can reverse this. We can reverse all of this stuff. And reversing means you just take something in the opposite direction and you don't ask.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I practice, and I even talked to Dr. Dean Lloyd on the phone about this one day, and I think I captured his imagination for a moment. He's a very brilliant man with Accutone and all that, you know, just his understanding of the chakra and the frequencies, and wow, makes your head spin when you start listening to him. But one day, finally, man, I said, I've got this little mental exercise I've always practiced, and I've told some others about it, and it does, in fact, help you tune yourself to a frequency, and it's just the simple matter of having two circles, but they're ellipses. They're side by side, one on the right, one on the left. And just imagine those in front of your eyes. They're out there about arm's length. And you have an ellipse on the right that, in fact, has a bar. And that bar, in fact, goes around in that ellipse. I've tried this for a long time, years. I still can't get a circle out of it. My mind won't have a circle, but it will have an ellipse. That's the way it works. And if you imagine that bar going around that ellipse and just going around, just keep it going to the right in your mind. Just keep it going to the right. Now, as you keep that going to the right, imagine there's an ellipse on the left, that don't drop the right. Just keep it going to the right. Keep it going to the right. Let your mind imagine that line continuously going in that ellipse to the right. Start something on the left-hand side of that ellipse. And in fact, have another bar and put it in there. Put a bar at the top and get it going to the left. Now keep the one going to the right, but now move that one to the left. Now move it around that ellipse in the left. Okay, get the right going again. You got the right there, and now you got the left going there. And if you look, that is a perfect figure eight. That is infinity. And if you can practice that enough, what occurs right in the center of where you're looking is almost infinite. That is the area where everything occurs. That's the zero point.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine those two ellipses, because your brain actually is moving, it's actually doing something with the electronics in it to imagine that right circle, that right ellipse going around and around and around, and now you've got the left going counter-rotating, and it's going around and around. Just keep it going around, and then it will eventually connect itself. One of these days, that will connect itself, and in your mind, you will see a perfect sign of infinity.
And that point, that zero point that you're referring to, is also the eternal now.
Yes. Right there at the center point, that zero point is the moment. That is the moment, right in the very center of that.
And everything outside of that point is illusion.
I would say that that's probably, yeah. Yeah, either that or a different time.
Well, time is an illusion, isn't it?
Well, yeah, at the moment, that is the moment. That mm-hmm. is the only reality we know right there at the very center, at the very zero point of those two counter-rotating ellipses. Okay,
yeah.
What occurs there? That can be, you in fact can go forward and backwards just at that point. Right there at that point, at that moment of reality, you can go forward in time and you can go backward in time. But you don't do it physically, you do it mentally. Now, I know if Dr. Wayne Pickering is listening, he's going to be proud of what I just said, because that's how you use your brain. And if you practice those types of things, those kind of brain exercises, I'm telling you, it just opens up a whole new thing, because I can actually look north at the horizon and I can actually see this sign of infinity, in fact, going in a figure eight pattern right across the North Pole. I can see that right turn. I can see that left turn. And if you practice that enough, I will certainly assure you that you can do most things. And when I talk about radionics and changing weather and getting weather to scram like you do, that's exactly what I think of. I stand here in front of the accumulators and just think that thought, nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
And say a simple prayer, just a simple prayer, because you can really say a really simple, I think, worthy prayer, and you know a lot about that, about being specific about what you pray about. Just those simple prayers, just those simple moments, in fact, can do things that we just can't describe to anybody. We just can't.
Well, yeah, and you know, sometimes I describe effective prayer as a done deal. Basically, you're just affirming it when you pray.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely right, Don. Absolutely right.
Now we were talking about these storms in the closing moments of our show. The last one, the 10th one, was the largest. And, you know, I was hearing weather reports from people all over the country. You know, we've got this horrible storm on the West Coast. We've got this horrible storm up in the mountains. We've got storms in the Midwest all over the place. And they're sweeping up from the south, and they're coming down from the north, and they're moving straight across. And I was hearing some horrendous reports about the weather, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I can evaporate clouds and chemtrails, you know, just through thought and intention. Mm-hmm. That can be done. We can all be, you know, I'm not suggesting we go around trying to make all the clouds disappear. That's not the point. But these manufactured storms that are intended to wreak havoc on the planet.
Yeah, they were full of benzene, this last one, the 10th one. Yeah, it was full of benzene. I had all the evidence I could possibly describe in the few minutes we got left, but I won't. But it was just everything the next morning was virtually lifeless. no birds singing. It was a kind of a morning where, you know, it was weepy, wet, and the rain, the storm the night before. Normally, a day like that, in fact, when it has the dawning, birds will come out. You know, it'll be the first to herald the new day. No matter what you're going to think about that day, they try to bring it in right, and they always do. But that morning, there was just silence.
Mm-hmm.
It was
well.
Creepy,
the point I was going to make is that was a big storm. That was the largest of the whole lot that had moved through this area over the past, through our state for that matter, for the past month. And I said to myself, yeah, this is a big one, but it's no more difficult than the other ones. Same principle at work. The same command. You know, it's the same command.
You're teaching us, and that's what we need you to do. We need you to teach, because no one else is going to teach this, and you're teaching. But I can certainly vouch for you that you are immensely qualified to teach, because it's teaching something that if you just entrust in listening to what you're saying and what we're discussing, you too, in fact, can do the same thing. But you don't need to go out and buy anything. You just need to, in fact, look in your heart for what Don is saying that you can do about this weather, because this weather is aberrant, and it's full of poisons now, and they're just going to continue to do this, ladies and gentlemen. I've studied these things with the chemtrails for over 12 years, and the things that I've found, in fact, I've written about. I put it in something in 2003 I called The Methodic Demise of Natural Earth. Don, all that stuff in there became reality. You know, and I always thought, if I hadn't written this, would this stuff have came true? You never know, right? but in the case of all these things, it is, in fact, an assault, an attack. It's worse than anybody can believe, nor do they want to hear about, because there's so many now that, in fact, hooray for our side, that are aware and are listening. They're listening right now. In the hearing, you say you can do something about this if you, in fact, just will it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to agree, and if two or more are gathered in his name and agree as if in touching, so shall it be.
Well, I could underscore all of that by saying this is not something you're taught in school, but consider what you were taught in school. Consider what your kids are being taught now in school. You know, we have high school graduates that work in McDonald's that break into tears when they have to count change from the drawer because they don't even understand the numerals on the LCD screen on the cash register. And there are countless stories like this.
We become offended when somebody says we're a third world country.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the myths of science and the repressed science many times on this show and even tonight. You alluded to the fact that we're given junk science and many of the scientists are practicing junk science.
Right.
Now,
science is supposed to have at least a purity, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, science has a purity. I, in fact, can tell you this is going to go to the reject pile because it can't even come up to 80%. It's that. Purity.
Yeah. And then our history has been distorted. We've been lied to about our history. We're being lied to about what's going on right now.
Right.
If that's not an indication, okay? So what
by
we're
the,
telling
by
you
the same
is...
same exact beings.
Yeah, yeah. What we're telling you is true, and you don't have to believe us. You can do the research or you can practice it, and it's just putting your intention from the heart, like Dr. Michael Castle just said. You put your intention and you have to do it with love. You have to have a love for your life and a love for Earth and for all living things. Utmost God and His creation. And that simple understanding, a child can understand that. That simple understanding opens the pathway. We don't have to endure this insanity. You see, this insanity is intended to keep us distracted and keep us in fear and keep us from knowing these things and using these things. But, you know, they couldn't write enough laws just to try to stop us from it. In fact, what they're upset about, what they're fearful about, is the fact that we are becoming aware.
And that we will get this message to others. That's what they fear.
Oh, we've done that already. So
yes, we have. Yes, sir. Yeah. You certainly have done that very masterfully. And I, in fact, just encourage everyone to hear what we're, in fact, trying to say is that we, in fact, were put here to do something. We've all been given gifts. I don't care who you are, even if you can't count change, even if you get tears in your eyes, we've all been given something to do here because we were created in His image. You can't deny that. Science can't verify that. Nothing. It's got nothing to do with science. Nothing to do with science. It's your spirituality. But we were put here to do something. God gave us all these gifts and talents. He called it the talents, and He gave you the parable of talents through Jesus. And what He said, in fact, you were given these talents, and this, as the story goes, and I believe that you all know this story, that and the three that, in fact, were given talents, the ones that, in fact, done nothing with it, but just, in fact, hid it and saved it, then God, in fact, does not enrich him because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and that was to invest his talents to make them bear. So he didn't do anything with them. Well, the ones that did were in fact given many rewards, and we've all been given those gifts and talents. It's my belief, and it always has been, and yes, I'm a Christian. I always have been a Christian my entire life. I believe that we will all have a day, because you do know that you will all, as I, we will pass away. We will die. Whatever you think that is, just don't buy into the fact of their fear-mongering that you're going to pass away if you've been a good person your life and you, in fact, believe in God and Jesus Christ because He's the doorway. If you, in fact, have ever heard that, then you believe. You're okay, but we will all have that day when we will all stand before God Almighty. And here's what I believe that He is going to ask you. What did you do with the gifts and the talents that I gave you? And what your answer is, whatever good that you have done with those gifts and talents that He has been blessed me with all my life of gifts and talents, that's just me and how I've developed things. Well, on that day, I'm going to give that back to Him because He entrusted them with me to do something good with them. I believe I have. And that's all you need to do is to believe that in your heart, and that's what you give back to Him. You're going to see paradise like you cannot imagine.
And I've seen it.
Because we will all have those days. We will all have that day.
I've seen it, and I know what you're talking about. So, and fear of knowing who you are and learning who you are and putting that into practice in your life is ridiculous. Just seek to know who you are and put it to use. Become.
You don't have to catch up with anything. You don't have to go into a panic about catching up, about doing something with the talents that He gave you.
That's right.
You don't have to catch up. It's if you, as you said it just earlier, if you just look at this in a childlike fashion, He will open all this up to you. And I said that on a radio program here just not too long ago about Zbigniew Brzezinski and hate. Every time I look at that picture, and I'll just use him as the example, okay? Because I've despised that man for a very long time. And the more I learn about what he's done in this world, the more I despise him. What does that say? I hate him? Almost. When I look at a photograph of him, all I see is an old lizard. I really do. I see him as an old reptilian lizard with just an unbelievably evil mind that killed 3.5 million people in Pol Pot. That was the mind that came from all those deaths right there. Okay, I wonder what he's going to say on his day. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be around him. But
yeah.
Just looking at his picture, I go into this rage of hate. I just, my mouth tightens up, and I just grit my teeth, and I've learned to catch myself at that moment.
Yeah.
There's that figure eight. There's infinity. Catch yourself at that moment and just place him in your heart at the foot of the cross. At that very moment, just put him at the foot of the cross. That's all you've got to do. Because that will keep you from hating that man, because God said, I've got to love my enemies. Well, this is clearly my enemy. Clearly. God said, you've got to love your enemies. Oh, my God, you know how hard that is? You know how really wretched this person is? Certainly he does. He created him, too.
Yeah, I'd rather take on a thunderstorm. You know?
If we had our druthers, you got it.
Well, yeah, it's not hating the person. It's hating what the person does.
Yes.
You know,
what they've stood for in their life, and you can't do anything. We can't do anything about that for all intents and purposes. Okay, so you always get this vengeance in your heart. Well, that's not for you to, in fact, to do anything with. He can take care of that. He can do anything. All you got to do is, in your heart, lay that at the foot of the cross, and he will handle it.
And, you know, the universe, Dr. Mike, the universe is a series of dichotomies. And because someone like that feels that they're doing what's right doesn't make it right. Just because they feel it's right. It's the choice that they make.
The choice they make. Like the people on the computers at NOAA that in fact assimilate this weather that goes to that big computer over that Cray supercomputer in Belgium, which in fact issues all the orders and all the operational plans and everything for the chemtrail spraying and the HARPs interfunction and all this manipulation. And yeah, that comes from the people with computers and mouses at NOAA in Tampa who are supposed to be looking at hurricanes, but they're creating them, like the National Cancer Research. In fact, it's supposed to be looking at how to stop cancers, and in fact, they're manufacturing them. It just goes down the same pipe. You know, it's not what you think, but you just despise these people once you find out what they're doing, like you said.
Yeah. And because they're manufacturing the cancers doesn't mean you have to get it. You know,
No. If it hairlifts the government, governor, I'm going to find me a countermeasure. I assure you.
Well, Dr. Mike,
Lord gave me a brain, and I use it.
We're out of time.
I enjoyed it, Don, very much.
I enjoyed having you on. In closing, I would like to say that this feeling that you have that the earth is tipping, you might have gotten that the night I played the Congressman Hank Johnson audio clip where he expressed his concern that 8,000 Marines and 17,000 dependents placed on Guam would cause it to tip and capsize. Let's hope the earth doesn't capsize.
I laugh every time I hear you play that or you bring it up. I mean, just to listen to this man is an elected official. Give me a break.
we can maybe I'll play that the next time you're on the show. We're in a new month. We haven't figured out what dates you're going to be on yet, but we will let the listeners know to expect
well,
to have
I'll
you.
Be on, I'll be on Truth Show Friday, and I'm very happy to, in fact, go on Truth Show because well, get into a lot of discussions about lots of other things. Got lots of stuff to talk about, and I'm just really hoping that one of these days I can, in fact, announce to the listeners that I'm headed south. That's all I want to do. I want to go south. I want to stop some of this mass destruction, if we can, in fact, because I'm still tuned to that spirit, Don. I still want to go down there. I still want to use the materials I develop and the technology that I develop, and in fact, that I know will reverse much of this damage if we can just get down there with the products and the materials, and it will work. But then again, I just, so everyone knows, I don't ever back down.
Yes, well, I understand that, and everybody certainly knows what we're up against. Anyway, so Dr. Mike, thank you for being on the show, and I look forward to your next visit. I'll be on Dr. True Ott's show tomorrow night on the microeffect.com, and you'll be his guest on Friday. So look forward to hearing your interview with him.
Thank you, Don. Have a good evening.
All right, you too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. We'd like to give special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and blogtalkradio.com on the Internet. Special thanks to Don Newsom on the sound tonight, and Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be none other than former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.